let's do it.
Yeah, sure. Okay. The first thing I would say to you is, do you know the speed of light? Have you any idea how fast the speed of light is?
I'm not even kidding you right now. There are no coincidences. Nothing is random. I am currently picking up my phone because only this week, speed of light and sound is in my phone right now. The speed of sound is 767.269 miles per hour. And the speed of light, how crazy is this? But the speed of light is 300 million miles per second is the answer. Yeah. So I know exactly how fast it is. Thank you.
And I love that you know that, because it sets up this whole thing beautifully. It frames it, because, do you know, okay, let me ask you the next question. See if this is in your phone.
Okay. Okay, right. That was there already. I did not look it up. That's what's so crazy. Okay. I had just looked that up. Yeah.
But we think the same, don't we? And mm-hmm. that's what happens. You know, our thoughts become one, I think.
Synchronicity, yes.
Okay. So how big do you think the Milky Way galaxy is in light years?
That is such a good question. 10 light years.
Okay. It's really a crazy number again.
Oh, it's another 300 million light years?
It's 100,000 light years.
So long. Not 10, but a multiple of 10, just a couple, zeros, no big deal.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So 100,000 light years. Now, if you equate that to the one that you first told me about per second, think how huge our galaxy is. Yeah. Our galaxy is an amazing place. Next question. Okay. Yeah. How many stars do you think are in our galaxy?
Oh, God damn it. Oh, no. In our galaxy, not the universe.
No, in our galaxy.
Is there an actual number? Has it been calculated by a computer?
It's been calculated, yep. It's all been calculated, how many they believe to be in our galaxy.
Can I call a friend? Do you remember?
You have one?
Can I phone a friend? Okay. How many stars are in the Milky Way galaxy? There are 100 million stars.
Okay. It's a good guess.
Thank you.
It's a really good guess.
Thank
it's
you.
It's 400 million.
Okay. I almost said 300 million. So
yeah, oops. But out of a guess, it's okay. Brilliant. Okay. And so we are only one of 400 million stars.
Yeah. I have always said, because we all know where this is going, that it is hubris to assume that we are the only beings in the universe. Okay. How egocentric of us to think that we are it.
But there's people being burnt at the stake in the 13th century for saying that the earth was round, because they believed the earth was square. And so there's so much that we don't know just about our galaxy.
Right.
And our galaxy is supposed to be one of around about 100 billion galaxies in the whole of our universe. Okay, that's just mind-blowing figures.
Yeah.
So to think that we are the only intelligent, in commas, species is quite a big jump of faith, isn't it? It would be a remarkable thing.
How about that there's only one universe? I'm sure there's not just one universe.
Well, I'm sure there's probably many, many, many universes.
That's right.
I'm sure that each universe is its own bubble. And then the dimensions that the universe is fit in are probably multiple. So it's going to be multiple billions. And if that doesn't blow your mind, nothing else will, because the infinity of the universe and where we live is so incredible. We can't even figure out how long a light year is.
Do you know why? It's all one. It's all one. It's all the same one, but we've burst apart into all these different pieces to discover about ourselves. So now that we know how expansive it is, let's talk about who else is here with us, shall we?
Yeah, who else could be here with us? I mean, are we living in just a place like a little blue marble? in the middle of the space with nothing else apart from the life that we have here? Or is there other life that we don't see? Is there things like shapeshifters? Are there things like the Rake, the Mothman, the Skinwalker, if you want, that are interdimensional creatures that come and go? The Yeti, the Abominable Snowman.
The Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
Are we talking about those?
Well, we can bring them all in.
I didn't recognize those first few that you mentioned.
Oh, gosh. What the thought is that when things come into our consciousness, they actually manifest in our plane.
That's right. They start as vibrational ideas, but thoughts turned into things. They become things.
Yeah, absolutely. So as soon as they become a part of our thinking, they manifest and they become part of our domain, part of our, if you like, our sphere, our realm. And that's what brings these into the consciousness. And people are actually seeing these particular creatures. They're filming them on videotapes and all sorts of things because they're now becoming real. Yeah. The best thing that ever was invented was the doorbell camera, right? Because people are seeing crazy things in their streets. They're seeing these weird creatures walking along the streets at night when they're asleep. And they're capturing them.
If you gave a cell phone to a caveman, that would seem like crazy, weird voodoo magic. So there are things that we see that seem like magic to us and don't make sense, but that's just because we don't understand and have all the information yet, right?
Well, yeah, maybe, but maybe cell phones have been here longer than what we know.
Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, yes, Charlie Chaplin.
I watched it.
Did you see that? What do you think?
I did. Of the woman. So we're talking about which Charlie Chaplin movie was it? The Circus?
It's called The Circus. Yeah, 1926.
And there's a woman that walks by on a cell phone. She's an extra. And it's clearly a phone because she's talking into it.
Yeah. And the thing is, we think it's a man because the actual person is dressed as a lady.
Yeah.
But I've never seen a lady with size 10 feet. Because the feet are humongous. Yeah, they're really big. And she's got this tiny little box that she's holding to her ear. Now, the reason I bring that up is because I was on the Tube, which is the underground in London, about 3 years ago. And I was there with my wife and we were coming back from doing some tours and some visits to people and just genuinely being me in London. And on the Tube, on the train that we were on, was this little stocky guy. He had tattooed eyebrows. He had bald head. He was around about 5'4" tall, and he wore one of those real wool jackets, you know, one of those woolen coats. And he had to his ear a device that he wasn't talking into. So all I could imagine was that he was sending thoughts through to it because he held it to his ear the whole time he was there. And his ears were really small, really round little dots. So I clocked him because he only had a white aura. And I nudged Alison and said, "Alison, there's an alien over there, only about 3 meters from where we are." And Alison goes, "Where?"
Wait, okay. So I just want to explain this for people listening in. So you're seeing the aura. He stuck out at you because his aura was all white, which was not a human aura, not a person. So you saw immediately that this was a human from another place or a being from another place.
Yeah, it was just a bipedal, you know, creature as far as I was concerned.
Did he, by the way, have also size 10 feet?
No, he had quite small feet, actually.
Okay, I was just curious. Just random question.
Yeah, no, it's a good question.
Okay. So you noticed this being 3.5 meters from where you were sitting on the train.
About 3.5 meters, yeah. And we could see directly. You know how narrow those carriages are? If you go on the subway in any place, the carriages are really narrow, aren't they? They're really close together.
Yeah.
And I could see him. He was standing up, holding against one of the poles. And I just said to my wife, I said, "Look, there's an alien." And as soon as I said that, I felt that he clocked me, knowing him. Yeah. And he got off about 2 minutes later.
Oh, he ran away from you.
Yeah, he got off the train. He literally, at a stop that was, there's hardly anything at this stop. Right. We were on the Jubilee line from middle of London, which is like Baker Street, Bond Street, or, you know, Westminster, all that way. And he got off a place called Queensbury.
Okay, now, so this is not the first time you met an alien. The first time you met an alien, you were a teenager, correct?
I was a teenager, yes. I was in a hotel.
I would love for you to tell that story really quick, because I do want you to describe the different kinds of beings that walk amongst us that are not of us.
Oh, there's so many different kinds, so many. So and I will run through them for you.
Please. Yeah,
the one I met when I was 18, which is 42 years ago now, was in a hotel foyer. I know, it's crazy. I only looked 15, right? it was in a hotel foyer in London. And in that hotel foyer, I was sat across the foyer, and this guy, well, I thought was a man, was reading the newspaper. And I could see he had a very, very plain aura, very white, very plain. And I said in my head, being the naive teenager I was, I said, if you are an extraterrestrial, can you please scratch your nose 3 times? And I said it out loud in my thoughts. And of course, he scratched his nose 3 times. And I was so scared I ran. But now I did. I got up, I scooted out of there as quick as
the
I
the little young
did.
You.
And but oh, yeah.
But since then, you now have such a breadth of knowledge. So please describe, because I was actually in bed with my husband trying to tell him about the tall whites I had told him about. And the one you just described, I couldn't remember the others. And so please. And yeah. I just, again, want to reiterate now that people have met you from our previous podcast that Dom sees auras. So he can recognize not only people, what's going on with people, different layers of people. So it's very clear to him when he sees a being that is not a person or yes. any kind of being that's not a bird that's not a bird, a dog that's not a dog. So he can see it because it's clear. So that's what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, it's very, very clear. And the nice thing about it is as soon as you recognize it, you can make notes of it mentally to really just put it into your memory to share with people. Now, the tall whites are something else. There's a guy called Charles Hall who talks about these, that they lived in the Nevada desert with the American Air Force. And Charles Hall was a meteorologist, and he was there to give weather forecasts for the airplanes and just set out the weather forecasts in general for the public. And he claimed to have actually lived with these tall whites in this base. And he said that these tall whites were very, very intelligent, very strong-minded, very protective about their children who they traveled through space with.
So do they eat and go to the bathroom? And
sure they do. Yeah, these tall whites
eat
and
go to the bathroom.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just not from here. Okay.
No, they're from a different, he does say where they're from. He actually documents where they're from. But there's a few things that they were different, apart from being very tall. They keep growing. They don't stop growing when they reach puberty. They keep growing. So the older statesmen are up to 8-9 feet tall. Their limbs become very fragile because of that. And they can break a bone, and a bone in their bodies take up to 2 years to mend. And, you know, Charles actually said that they're very jealous that we mended so fast.
And how long do they live for?
Two years. About 800 years.
Okay, yeah, because 2 years for a mending bone feels like a being that lives a long time.
Yeah, a long, long time. And they actually are really quite peaceful beings, but they're searching out information. They want to experience the things in our culture here on Earth and learn about what we do and how we do things. So they're here for legitimate reasons, but they're also tourists.
That was where I was going. It's my favorite thing. When you said that to me, I asked you, why are they here? Why would they come to Earth to hang out? You said tourism.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tourism. Would you go to another country or place to see how beings are living? Try their food, wear their clothes? Yeah, I would. Tourism. It's amazing. We must seem so basic, so rudimentary, so primitive is the word I'm looking for.
Well, I think we might come across that way, but can you imagine being able to go in there and experience it and in the culture? Because yeah, again, Charles recognizes, and he says this in some of the things that he talks about this. He talks about them going to Vegas, and they would dress up in human clothes, They wear sunglasses and a hat, and they would go and gamble on some of the roulette tables and bits. Just
you said there's a lot of people in LA where I live. You said there's a lot of safe, you call them safe houses.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to ask you, right, because, yeah, I mean, California, let's just take California as a whole. How many UFO sightings do you think were in California last year?
You want me to guess?
give us a random, because I was amazed when I looked this up.
100?
Okay, 10,333 to be precise.
Okay, so this is what's happening, and we've talked about this, and if you're listening in, you know, some people still get really squeamish about this stuff. You know, people are starting to wake up in general. That's how you've been attracted to this podcast. That's why we're having this conversation. And people are going to start seeing more and more, and more is going to become visible as the years go on, right? Did you mention something like that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to be able to give people the information so they can spot aliens walking amongst us. Because once you can start to spot those aliens, then the governments have to come out and acknowledge them.
Because, well, the government has come out and acknowledged it, and nobody paid any attention because we were all in shutdown and everyone thought, okay, great. It was actually acknowledged in the news for the people, but nobody paid any attention.
That's amazing, because, you mean, when they released the film of Gimbal and Go Fast, which were two little pictures of UFOs that the Navy pilots from the US war carrier Nimitz pictured from their cockpits, and they've got this film, and they released it 2 years ago to the public. They were things that they could not explain. They said, we do not know what these are. These aren't our technology. We don't think they're Russian technology. We don't know what they are, but they are here.
Well, and I've also done some research where there's ships that move in a way that our technology can't move ships in that way. And my question to you is, are they being moved with thought? Seems like these ships are telepathy driven.
Yeah, of course, there's telepathy. They're driven by mind power, a lot of them, but they're also driven by an element, which is element 115, which is an element we didn't really know about until recently.
Oh.
And that comes from some people that worked on Area 51 on recovered alien spacecraft. They actually found this element, but we didn't know why.
So it's a physical spacecraft. It's not an image that's sort of hologrammed or projected, or can it be both? No. They're actual craft.
It's actual craft, and they're only seen if we want to see them. They're not actually there, you know, for us to see, really.
And then have we killed aliens? Well, I feel like have we shot down ships and actually murdered aliens?
Well, you could go that far and say yes, because Roswell, there's a real strong case in point that we actually shot that ship down. And there was a couple of aliens that were murdered there in that ship, two dead aliens and one alive one that stayed alive until for another 2 years. But I think that the hostility of them is that we want their technology. We want what they've got. Of course. And of course, the military that gets the technology rules the world, really.
This is my understanding. If you want to connect with an extraterrestrial being, just close your eyes and meditate, have messages of love, and ask to talk. I've heard that from friends of mine that are mediums and psychics. That's another episode. I know we've got differing views on this, that there's a lot of extraterrestrial energy hovering over us, wanting to communicate, and so ready for anyone who is open to communicating.
Yeah, I've got a really strong take on this, as you know, but what I believe is that I'm open to it. I'm really open to channel and to understanding that. But I also want to hear the new stuff, the new knowledge. If people are channeling just the stuff we already know, what's the purpose of that? Because they're just repeating the same stuff we already have. But if they bring in new insights, new knowledge, new thoughts, new areas, because I think that's where we get all our technology from, is through thought. And thought is what we pick up from the ether. If you like, the Akashic record is everything that's ever been made, ever been done. So we're picking that up all the time, but we have to be ready for it. So we have to understand why we're talking, because as you say, there's no point in giving a caveman a mobile phone, because it would just be useless. And it's the same with anything within the worlds that we live in. I mean, a phone is no good unless you've got two, for instance. You know, one phone by itself is rubbish, isn't it? Can you imagine it? It's just a box.
Right.
So
not going to know one.
Yeah. And it's the same with communication with extraterrestrials and with beings, is that it's no good if the knowledge they're coming in with, you're not resonating with.
Can I give you my woo-woo moment of the day?
Yeah, come on,
which evidently is now a thing. My woo-woo moment of the day. Okay. So what I have seen is that there has been channeling, and the channeling is not about messages of technology or information. The messages are of love and understanding the laws of attraction and understanding the laws of the universe, so that we may be a more evolved people and that we all may ascend together, meaning we are all driven more in love and less in fear of control and needing technology to further our advancements, but more of the love and the connection and the connection. And as we do that, we open ourselves up once again to receive inspired ideas, more information, and we advance exponentially and make ourselves ready for whatever the extraterrestrials have to share with us. Thank you for my woo-woo moment of the day.
No, I want to come back onto that with my own moment.
We should call it the wah moment of the day.
I love it, because it's a great perspective, and I can see it totally and understand it totally. And then I'm going to say to you, what about Kessler? What about this guy who had technology that he channeled from spirit, that was all about free electricity and all these things that we don't use today, the meridian grids?
Well, listen, everything that we have in our world today was at one point just an idea. At some point we were cavemen roaming around chasing animals for food. And then someone had the inspired idea to actually stay in one place and grow seeds and make their own plants and make their own food, which was completely outrageous for the people who were roaming. They're going to starve. You can't stay in one place. My point being, everything you look at was one point a thought, which of course then it became a reality vibrationally and then became an actual manifested thing. Electricity, this water bottle I have next to me, everything that we have was a thought turned to a thing, right?
Let me come past that, because I think there's a real counter argument for that. Because first of all, we don't know evolution is evolution. We don't even know how old the Earth is. We don't know. We don't know that what people assume to be us developing from cavemen into modern man has been a correct ascension. It could have been with interference from intelligent beings from different worlds
that, for sure,
automatically enhanced us to be able to speak and give ideas. So we don't really know that evolution is the answer to everything we have. And that's one thought of that. The second thought is that as we evolve into different races, we couldn't have possibly all come from the same source, because we have so many different cultural entities in this earth. We have the Chinese, we have the Indians, we have the English, we have the Scandinavians, we have the North Americans. We have so many different cultures around this earth that it would be almost impossible. The odds would be almost impossible that they all evolved from one person or two people. So when you think of the actual numbers it would take for that to have happened, there's a missing link. There's a missing substance that comes in and says, look, it could be that we all had this animal instinct, and we all had different animal instincts in different parts of the world, but different groups of aliens have come in at different places, just modified.
Settled?
Yeah. And if you think about it, you think about how different the Cohesians are to the Chinese. Why would we grow in that way differently, but be the same? It really doesn't really fit some of the ideas of evolution.
So what you're saying is we are all aliens.
We are all aliens. Yes, we really are. And some of us, I think, are closer to aliens than others. And if you look at some of these people that get abducted or some of these people that have a counter of the fourth kind, which is close encounter face to face with an alien, a lot of those people have everlasting experiences with those particular entities. So they are now coming into the consciousness of mankind, and it's becoming a global, then it's going to become a galactic part of where we are. So we're understanding that we are just more than just what we are. We're so much more.
We're definitely more than what we are. But you make really interesting points about who's to say it was just one man, one woman. The image that we have in our history books was it came from
the species like monkeys and
yes, I was just there's a term. Yes. Yeah.
But there is a real train of thought to say that some of these people that we were once are still here and we don't see them because they're away from us.
There's theories, and this is where you come in, because I don't know what anything's called and I don't know who anyone is, but about that we had assistance from robots, not robots, from other beings. I said robots, if anyone's listening, because I don't know if you've ever seen the movie WALL-E. It's a Pixar movie. And at the very end of the movie, the humans come back to Earth and you see a pictorial version of how man evolves, but they evolve with the assistance of robots, which is paralleling this theory that we were assisted by extraterrestrials.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can, no, you explained that well.
Okay, I was like, well, yeah, Lord, no, I don't know good. How I'm going to do this.
No, we're all there with you. The good part about that is it's a theory that could be a part of the real truth, the real picture of what's actually happened, because we're coming to terms with the fact that we aren't the only intelligent race in the universe. So once we come to that real conclusion, then all we have to do then is wait and watch and see what comes in with it. Because, you know, you going back to the themes of films, you know, in the day the world stood still, 1958, they filmed that film, and it's had a robot coming out of a spacecraft telling us that we're going to destroy the world if we're not careful, and an alien being that looked like us telling people the same things and being a mathematical genius and solving problems. So it's nothing new within the consciousness. It's just things that we're now starting to build towards and understand.
Well, I've read even things like Star Trek came about because of an experience that the writer had, a visitation.
In Gravenberry, yeah.
Yeah, it has been coming into consciousness, and it's as man moves from fear to love and we become less in fear, less controlling, and more in our authentic selves of love and open and receiving and connecting, we become more available to communicate, to get the real information, to see things we haven't seen before. And so that's what's happening right now. And it's, and of course, we're moving exponentially. So I can only imagine 15 years from now, as weird as this podcast sounds right now, in 10, 15 years, it's not even going to be a big deal. It's not a thing. Everyone's going to be talking about this.
Yeah, well, I think people are already talking about it. People like Stuart Wilde is talking about this 20 years ago. He was touring San Diego 20 years ago, talking about extraterrestrials and an English man that was very into all this stuff and very interesting guy to listen to if you ever want to know more. But the whole understanding of it has become more conscious. It's become more in the human complexity of understanding, and we're accepting of it. Because let's face it, if the Philadelphia lights can sit in the sky above Philadelphia for 2 hours and people can see them from miles and miles around, and people go, what was that?
I want to see. I watched this documentary called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, and there were groups and groups of people going out into the desert and meditating together and having these experiences, calling forth extraterrestrials and having interactions, and I want to see one.
Yeah. Well, look, if your mind is open to it and you're ready, you're in the best part of the world, you know, over 10,000 sightings, and no doubt lots of aliens walking around California right now, living in California right
okay,
now.
Okay, so give me another version. Great whites, the stocky ones with the eyebrows tattooed. Can you give us a couple other versions so people can look around?
Yeah, sure. You mean a lot of the aliens we see from, you know, experiences are very similar to us, but they are around about 5'8" and they're fairly dark skinned, fairly tan skinned, but they are very, very much like us. Head, two arms, two legs. Yeah, I mean, you've also got the small greys, and the small greys are supposed to be eight different species that we know of grey aliens. So these are aliens that have evolved in different ways. There's also the aliens that are robots, or little robots that they use to do all their jobs and their work with. There's the other aliens, like Chewbacca out of Star Wars, the big hairy aliens. They're supposed to be, you know, like Bigfoot.
That's the Bigfoot, yeah.
Yeah, and there's
Sasquatch, is that what you call it?
Yeah, but they're supposed to be invisible. So they have a cloak of invisibility, so they can actually, you know, change their shape and their visibility, so they can go from being visible to invisible.
So invisible or shape-shifting?
Both. They can do both.
And I wanted to again explain that you once talked to me about, if you see a group of birds and all the birds have a particular aura, there may be a bird among them.
Yes.
That would have what, a white aura?
Or very limited, very, 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 very close, very nothing much at all to see. And you would know it would be a shapeshifter. You'd know it would be a different creature, but took the form to fit in. And I believe that they are quite common amongst people, especially in big cities. When we look at our lives 1 million years from now, we'll know we lit the world up just like that.